Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 181, Wargamers Terrain Review. I want to thank all of you new and longtime listeners for tuning in today, and I want to let you know about one very important thing. We're going to talk about a lot of different aspects of Wargamers Terrain, and I don't expect you to remember it all. You might be listening while you're at the gym. Okay, that doesn't happen. But you might be listening while you're painting, or you're commuting, or whatever. You're not going to remember it all, but just remember this one thing. The link to the show notes at wargamingrecon.com/WR181. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR181. So we are discussing Wargamers Terrain today, and we're going to be reviewing them. And I am joined by two of my friends and co-hosts. I'm joined by Mr. Alex Kostopoulos. Alex, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Going well. We're actually doing this on site at a great gaming convention at Havoc, which we discussed in the previous episode.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's kind of cool to be able to do that here and
record
in the flesh.
It's fun hanging out with everyone.
It is. And people kind of stop by and they get involved and like, oh, look, it's a thing. It's neat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also joined by Adrian Benson. Adrian, how are you?
Hey, John. Doing good, thanks.
Are you also happy to be here once again?
I am. Can you tell?
I can, of course, tell, as can everyone around us. They're just like, oh, my God, he's so excited. He can't keep it in. The enthusiasm is contagious, I am sure. And we're here because we want to talk about Wargamers Terrain, which is a local company in Western Massachusetts run by Joe Linares. And he makes, I think, perhaps the most interesting pieces of terrain I've ever come across in my entire life. You can tell I've led a sheltered life. But it is true because his stuff, it's all flexible, made to be flexible, and it goes back to its current shape without damage or destruction to the piece of terrain.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique thing, particularly with the walls, the stone walls that he does. I mean,
fences.
Okay, fences, right. The like the roads and river terrain that he does is really nice stuff, but it's not that unusual to have like a flexible road or whatever.
Yeah.
But the walls, at least from my experience, are unique. I'm a big fan now.
Fence.
I've got some of them.
So these fences, they're really cool. I have no idea what the heck he makes them out of. He actually has this new stuff that he's done. This new, I don't know, formula that he's using. And all you got to do is you figure out wherever you want to bend it. And they can't do 90-degree bends because then they'll break.
They'll break, yeah.
But like you can do like 45 or whatever. So you pinch. You hold it for a minute and you pinch. And then you bend it. And it stays in that spot.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you just, same thing, you put it back. You can bend it horizontally, vertically, diagonally. So whatever kind of terrain you have on whatever table, if you have elevation hills,
you can have the wall or
it goes up the hill.
Follow the terrain of the hill, yeah, exactly.
And that's something that always annoys me. So you get this hill, right? And you can tell that there's supposed to be a fence or a shrub or whatever, and it's supposed to be going up, and it just kind of dingles in the air.
Yeah, and angles.
And I get that, you know, that's some sort of abstract approach to wargaming. You're not going to get every figure, you're not going to get everything to be exact, but like, a fence shouldn't just be hanging out in the middle of the air. Like, it's a heavy fence, right? These are supposed to be heavy duty stone or field stone or whatever, and you're not just going to see it and be like, okay, I'm just like the Titanic jutting out of the water.
Yeah.
So I like that these you can do that with, and they're affordable.
Yeah, they're not bad.
All of his stuff is pretty affordably priced, and one of the really neat things about his stuff is that it's made by hand. Nothing is casted by him. So every piece is, they may not look like it, but they're really just one of a kind.
Yeah, it's true. And everything is made to order as well.
It is. And even if you don't think it's being made to order, it is. So when you order, let's say you're ordering one of these fences and he's doing whatever, you pick what scale. Is it going to be 15 mil or 28 mil? And all that determines is the size of the stones that he's using. So 15 mil, he uses smaller stones. They're easier to bend. And you get less flaking of the stones. And 20 mil, it's much larger, like pebbles almost.
Yeah.
And those are a little bit harder to bend, and I think they don't come off as easy, I think. But like, let's say you're ordering the rivers. You can get two types of rivers from him. And you order, and by default, he'll do a certain color for it. But even then, he kind of modifies it. So
yeah, I suspect he would do pretty much anything you asked him to.
He does.
It's all custom work.
For this episode, we're actually reviewing the Flex Rivers Deluxe, the Flex Roads Standard, which you had won as a prize. Or, no, you bought.
No, I won it as a raffle prize at Huzzah a couple years.
The Flex Stone Fences, Flex Fields Plowed Field, and the Flex Fields Clump Grass and Field Grass. And I had talked to Joe because seen him at Huzzah as a vendor, and I was like, I like your stuff. Can we work out a thing to see if we can get it reviewed on the show? And it's very intense dialogue with him through email. The guy's fantastic, amazing, some of the best customer service I've ever come across in everything. And it's super easy to order. You go to his website and you click on whatever you want, and it adds it to a PayPal account card, so that when you pay for it, you pay for it via PayPal, so you get all that PayPal protection for it if something were to happen, which it wouldn't, but if it does, you get all that protection from it. It's super quick and easy, so it can either come right out of your bank account, it comes out of a debit or credit card, so you don't have to worry. So if you do with a credit card, you get a credit card protection too, so you get a lot of consumer protection, which is nice. It's very easy, just point and click, and as soon as that goes to him, he starts working on the stuff. It goes in his queue, really, is what it is, but he doesn't take too many orders at any time.
Yeah.
He has enough, and you can check the status on his website, and you can actually tell what kind of order yours is in relation to all this, because he uses codes. So one code will be like, it's a small order, one will be a large, one will be medium. So you can tell if there's a lot of small orders for you, which say a couple, he's going to get through those probably pretty quickly, so you get your stuff a little bit faster, I would presume, than if there's like one or two larger orders and yours is a smaller order.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat. And then I actually got an email from him because I said, okay, I want the Flex Rivers Deluxe, because I thought rivers would be handy, pretty good generic piece of terrain, one that I'm never going to paint or do anything with, but you need for a game. And you can get different widths for the rivers for game for whatever scale you're doing. And he emailed me and he said, you know, what color do you want? So you can get mostly blue, you can get mostly green, mostly brown. Blue-green is the default, or you can ask him for other color combos and other shapes. So he has a package that you get S-curves or certain C-curves and straight pieces or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I need one to be like zigzag or look like a star shape or whatever, he makes you a star shape.
Yeah.
And it's easy, you can get it done. I ordered the second week of November 2016. He shipped it via USPS Postal Service with tracking on December 1st, 2016. It came on the 3rd, 2016. The longest amount of time was for the product to cure. I think it took 2 or 3 days for the fences to cure.
Yeah, the fences that I ordered, and there's that too, once you'd actually had them completed, whatever process he uses needs some time to cure or settle in or whatever.
Yeah.
But that was definitely the longest period, that took the longest from the time he actually started working on it.
It's not bad.
No.
Even when you consider that amount of time and everything.
No, yeah.
It's really
kind of... And they look great.
They do. They look fantastic.
Look really good. Yeah, the only thing you need to be aware of when you order from him is, since everything is handmade and your order is going to go into his production queue, you can't... I tend to be a last-minute kind of guy, and it's like if I decide I need something for a game bench and I'll order it and probably get it within a couple of days... Can't really do that with Wargamer's terrain.
No Amazon Prime then.
No. Yeah, no, exactly. But as long as you're aware of that, it's not a problem.
Right. He's a vendor at area conventions. Like he goes to Huzzah. And of course, if you're going to buy from him at the vendor booth, the stuff is pre-made. So he has some stuff that's pre-made, whether it's rivers or whatever. Rivers, I think, is probably one of the things that would take most amount of customization out of it, because you need the epoxy you have to put on. You get the color and the paint and all that kind of stuff. But even that, he has some mainstream stuff that most people would like that, so you can just go and you get it.
And it's real functional stuff too. I mean, the fence that we're looking at right here, because it can be posed, it essentially can serve as a little bit of a trench,
mm-hmm.
You know, some sandbags, you know, essentially. There's a lot you can do with it.
Yeah, I mean, the one I got is built for 15 mil, but it's good for almost any scale of game.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you could use it for something. For certain scales, it might be a fence. For others, it's a wall. It's, you know, whatever.
Yep.
And I like that all of his stuff kind of fits that bill. So let's say you need some sort of crops or whatever. You can do the plowed field. You can get it where it actually has crops built into it. You can get it where it's just by itself. You can get the modular pieces of field grass and pump terrain go on, so you can then move it around to make it whatever kind of setup you need. And then he actually sells those worm fences. He doesn't make them. It's through his company, but someone else makes them using locally sourced wood that they obtain somehow. Find on the backyard. I don't know. And
locally sourced wood. I like that.
It's locally sourced because we're supposed to
source from his backyard.
We're supposed to support local businesses when possible, and he's a local business. And so it goes great together. So you can have that, and it works perfect with the stuff. And what I like is some of these terrain pieces you get from different companies, they're really only ideal when matched with other terrain pieces from that company.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This works. Any of his stuff works with almost anything else. It's not like, oh, you only need to get his stuff. It'll look good with other things. So you don't have to worry about that. You can be like, I want this from Morgan Mastrand. I want this from J.R. Vinnie's. I want this from Christopher, whatever. And it's going to look good together. It's not going to look like a hodgepodge of crap.
Yeah.
It's just, it's there.
And I'd go as far to say, too, like the rivers, for example, are that sort of piece of terrain that it's really worth buying from somebody like this. Because, you know, when are you going to sit down and make your own rivers? And when you do, I don't know. I've tried to make my own rivers. They don't often come out looking that nice.
Yeah.
Especially if you want the real water effects, which mm-hmm. is the tricky thing. Because then you have to use a kind of epoxy and all that stuff, and it gets a little bit. It's a pain.
It's total. I've completely given up on trying to make my own terrain. I've decided I'm more than happy to pay somebody to do it for them.
It's worth it, and I think for the, like, I was looking at the rivers, and I thought, okay, rivers are something that you need, and I'm never going to think about, like, trying to buy pre-made or whatever, so you need to do whatever, and I said, okay, I can either get the standard ones where it's just painted on, and you don't get the epoxy or any of that extra stuff on it, or I can get the nicer ones, and I'm like, well, just the painted ones on, it still has a full flocking, and he puts all the driftwood and all this other stuff in it, so it's a beautiful piece. And I was like, okay, I'll get that. It's maybe because it's like $50. Or I was like, I'll spend the more for the other. And I was thinking, what do I really need? I actually decided the deluxe made more sense long term because they're going to last because it's durable.
Yeah.
They're very durable.
Right.
It just, it's
a buy one sort of thing, which is really nice. And if you're going to be in the hobby for a while, you know, you can make these things out of cardboard or something like that and it might look all right. But it's also not going to last, and this is just going to be. This will be for the duration of your hobby.
That's true, and I think if you're doing one of those fixed costs kind of things, you're actually saving money long term. Then, like I'll spend the $50 for the standard rivers now, but then I'm going to have to spend another $50 to replace a dollar in this.
Right.
You're golden, and that's true for any of his pieces. I think they seem very well made. They seem to last. I did an unboxing video when I got the stuff because I was so excited. It's unboxing time of year. It's funny because leading up into the holidays, end of the year, I've learned that unboxing videos get an uptick in viewership from on YouTube, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, all that kind of stuff. And I think it's because people really want to see what things are so they can get gift ideas for the last minute shopping.
Sure.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so it worked for us. We had tons of views, tons and tons. Like, I was surprised by how many people were interested in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the stuff was just like out of the box. You could tell how professional I made. So, like, the stuff comes, right? Let's talk about the box because it might sound like a dumb thing to discuss for terrain.
Normally, I would say that, but.
Yeah. Right.
They're gorgeous, very well, high quality. Green boxes of Boston gold that says Wargamers Terrain. You open it, each piece is wrapped in tissue paper. It has thin card separating it to help protect it. And there, all this is put in there, so you can have it just in storage on your shelves or anything. But then it's put into a really sturdy, just cardboard box for shipping. Nothing moves. There's no damage. I mean, I looked. I said, it's going to have to be something damaged because this thing's poking out. You got tree pieces coming out. You got this and that. Flock must be, something's going to be wrong because this kind of stuff, even though it's just like the western part of the state, shipping means something's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And I looked and I couldn't find a darn thing. I was disappointed. I'm like, there's going to be something wrong with it. This is where there's going to be a problem. No problem. They were golden.
And like Adrian was saying, to talk about a box is kind of silly, but when the box is the sort of thing that you can put on your shelf and not feel like you have to throw stuff in a bin or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like luxury packaging.
Yeah,
there is such a
it's
thing.
It's just nice, actually.
And it's handy. Let's say you're going to a game day, you're going to a buddy's house, or you're going to a convention, you want to bring this so you have the table so it looks nice. You don't have to worry about, like, how am I going to bring it? You put it in the box. It should stay in the box. But you put it in the box, and you're fine.
Yeah.
You just bring it with you, like, in the past, when done live episodes of the show, we had a different microphone. And with that mic, I was like, well, how am I going to pack it? Because mic's a sensitive piece of equipment. I had to wrap it in a blanket. And, like, it worked, but it's kind of like, really? So imagine wrapping all this terrain in a blanket. I mean, like, let's bring it and hope for the best. So you get, like, right. your thing and you put, mm-hmm. it's not going to work. So you got the box. It's great. And it's just, it's that added value, I think, there.
It well, is. It's a nice way to transport it and store it. And it works with its advantage a little bit because, obviously, it's got the Wargamers Terrain logo on the website on the top of the box. So people see it.
True. And, you know, even if it didn't have the name, I think the green box and the style and design of it is iconic enough that you'd associate it with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And case in point, when I came... to your place for the...
It's a blue box, actually.
Oh, blue, sorry. I don't know why I keep on saying green.
Because of the green paper.
The green wrapping paper.
Yeah. When I came to your place for the 24-hour gaming, I broke a piece of my own terrain that I brought in because I didn't have a good way to bring it in. I just was carrying it. It snapped, and of course, you know, that was that.
Yeah.
And but something like this, you just stack your boxes, carry them, and you are good to go. You don't have to set them up or anything.
No, absolutely. And, I mean, I got the full Flex Rivers Deluxe set. I got two stone fences. I got the prairie, the plowed field, plus all the clump stuff that goes with it.
Does that come with the field, or do you buy that stuff separately?
I bought it. So if you buy the field, you can either buy it where the stuff's actually built into it, in which case it comes with it. But if you buy it separately, and you get like six pieces, I think, for $5.
Okay.
So I bought them. I got them separately, and all that fit in my one large box. It fits nice and snug. It's not like there's too much extra room, so it bounce around. It's not that it's too small. I hate when, like, games don't give you enough room for everything.
Yeah.
New Bedford.
Yeah.
But, so it fits just right. And so that's it. So you don't need, like, one box just for the rivers, one box just for your fences or whatever, or one box just for your roads. I mean, all your roads fit in the box. It's a whole set.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought you only got one section road. You got a full set of roads.
I don't know. Yeah, there's...
It's gorgeous.
They're really nice, and yeah, there's a lot in there. There's a lot of variety in the different bends, curves, and Ys and everything. There's more than enough roads in there to put a complete road system on a 6x4 table. So
almost too many, actually.
Yeah.
It's same with the rivers, because, I mean, I got a 6x4 at home, and I can't fit it all on there without it looking stupid, like I'd have to lay it weird or something.
Yeah.
So if you have a larger table, if you're so blessed to have such a gigantic thing or at a convention, they're going to fit. You don't need to buy multiple sets.
Yeah.
There's enough variety in there for it to look interesting for any of these kind of things. The guy who makes it, he is so knowledgeable about all of it. One thing that I really dislike is you buy terrain from a company, you can tell, like, they're a terrain company, but they don't really get the games or the way people play games. And so, like, you buy it and you're like, something about it doesn't make sense. Or you try to talk to them about, well, what kind of gaming you're doing. And they're like, okay, that's nice. So just, here, buy this thing over here, that over here. Joe's really like, okay, so what style of gaming are you going to be doing? What kind of games do you do? World War II? You're going to be doing this. And so you can really get this guided experience for what's going to work best for you, and also what size you need for stuff. How much should you get of it? And what, he doesn't want to oversell. Like, he wants to make profit, and I don't blame him. But he's not just, like, I need to make money. He's, what's going to work for you?
Sure, yeah.
And so it's not often you kind of get that experience, I think, in life, where people are really like, I need to make this as good as possible for you. And he does a great job about it. He understands, because he's a gamer.
Yeah.
He plays the games that we play.
Adrian, when you ordered, did you go through this process? Did you talk to him?
No, I didn't talk to him. I just ordered on the website.
How was that?
It was fine. The website experience is fine. I mean, it's the typical PayPal shopping cart. And then I got an email. Almost right away, an email confirming, you know, the order had been received and everything. And it said it would be put into the work queue, which took me by surprise. I didn't realize that. And then when he actually started work, and you get he started work on it, and you get an ID number. So then you can go back to the website, and there's a section where you can enter that ID number and see where your order is in the production list, you know, waiting and started, whatever state of production.
Sure.
But yeah, no, the website's fine.
Have you met him?
Met him at Huzzah a couple times, yeah.
He's a very friendly guy. And I like when you see him at a convention. He's not pushy. You know, sometimes you go up to a vendor thing and they're, like, too eager to help you. He's very much like, he has the stuff. He stands back and waits for you to seem like you're indecisive. Like, do you need help? And if you don't, he doesn't engage. He's just like, okay. And
then, see, that sounds more like something I would say. I walked up to this guy's table and he started talking to me. God.
No, but, like, so think of it. It's like you go buy a car, right? And they jump on you like vultures. And
No, I know exactly what you mean.
For me, that's very unpleasant. I'm not going to give them my business just because it annoys
right.
me. I'd be like, no, forget it. I'm all set. I came here by accident. I thought I needed a car, even though my smoking Hulk is over there by the side of the road. But I'll walk the 50 miles back home. I'm good, thank you, though. So you don't get any of that with him. And I like that. I like that a lot, actually. He gets people. And I can't quite figure out if this is... And I don't think it is, but if this is his, like, full-time job?
No, I don't think it could be. It's got to be a sideline.
It must be, but, like, he manages to do it in such a way that it feels like you get his full attention with it.
Oh, yeah.
The one exception that I would say as a time to not order from him, and he gives advance notice, is right before, like, the Christmas, Hanukkah holidays.
Sure.
Because he goes abroad, I think, for a few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because the invoice, you know, like the production goes up so much.
No, it's like, you know, he takes...
But he just goes away.
He takes time off, like for New Year's, and, like, right around that time, he takes time off and just... I understand it's... Hey, the show takes a break, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We go on hiatus from half of December to half of January and just kind of need that time. So I get it. So, like, if you're like, oh, this is a big event coming up then, order in October. Order in September.
Right.
Don't wait until middle of November or December even to be like, I'm going to get...
it's good to know, like, if you're shopping there for Christmas present.
Yeah, I mean, just, hey, I ordered in November, right, and I got it beginning of December. Plenty of time. Could wrap it up. I mean, review for the show, but it was kind of like a Christmas present almost for myself because got all this stuff to review for the show. Got this cigar box mats, and mm-hmm. I mean, also, it's just like, it's wonderful. Look at all these wonderful.
You had a nice holiday things. Season.
And I mean, it's just, I like opening things. It's fun. You get to see what's inside and all the cool stuff. And so it was a good thing to be able to do. What do we think about the pieces? The things that we love about certain pieces, things that we dislike about them?
I honestly can't think of anything I particularly dislike about them. The only thing I would say, I did buy a pond from him at Hazzah year before. I don't remember.
Oh, really?
But it's a great piece, but it does tend to get a little bit wrinkly. Seems a little bit toozy. I mean, it flattens right out with a little bit of effort, and that's just such a minor quibble. I hesitate to even mention it. But
do you think it's because it's a larger area and with the stuff you use, or do you think it's an old formula?
No, honestly, I think it's because of the way I'm storing it. I don't have a whole lot of...
Are you storing it in the Wargamer's Terrain box?
I did not get a Wargamer's Terrain box with that piece.
Really?
I did not.
Because it was a convention.
Probably because it was at the convention. Yeah,
that's disappointing, but that's good to know.
Yeah.
Because I have it in the back of my mind, oh, Hazzah's coming up in May. I'm going to go and say hi to him what do you have that I can get? Because I want to get more stuff.
Well, maybe he'll have a box he can give. But,
well, now that I've said it on the show and I know he's going to listen to this, he'll be like, maybe I need to have a box for Jonathan.
Yeah, like I said, I think
well, what can I say? You're not me, so that must have been it.
It seems to be that, not being you is a big handicap around these game people.
It's a handicap of life.
I feel for you when you're just, you're a mere mortal,
like a
and you're the presence of greatness.
I know I keep going back to Total
Con. You're like a dog with a bone.
But they're a little confused about John at Total Con. They think he is somebody.
Your Majesty.
Meanwhile, those of us who know him.
Hey, I got
you.
We're
just going to make sure for the rest of the year we put him in his place.
I got you into the cocktail party.
Which I appreciated. That was a lot of fun.
It was, and it's a shame we can't really talk more about that.
It is, unfortunately. I'm
but
going
it's
to be invited back.
Code of the cocktail party.
I don't think I caused a scene. I don't know that I can say.
I don't think you did because I would have heard. But
yeah, that's the.
I would have heard through the grapevine. It would have been. Yeah, don't bring him back next time. It's just he's not. You can come, just don't tell him where you're going. It's just he's not allowed.
Oh my God! No, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
I know not everyone remembered who you were, but they liked you.
No, they didn't.
Peter Bryant.
Well, I wasn't going to mention anyone by name.
Oh, I'm happy to.
But yeah.
I know who you are.
And who's that guy who's with Jonathan Party? You know, it was Adrian. Who? Adrian from the show, Working Recon.
And it's not like I hadn't met him two or three times before, but whatever. In fact, I've been sitting next to him in his room before that, now that I think of it.
Yeah, I mean, we were hanging out. Like, here we go.
Anyway.
He was probably busy with many things.
Seems like it might be a talent that you have.
What, being forgettable?
Invisibility.
It's a superpower.
I meant invisibility, but,
You are a forgettable man.
Anyway, my Wargamer's Terrain pond, I'm quite certain the reason that it always comes out of the storage wrinkly is because of the way I'm storing it. And like I say, these things, they're designed to flex, so it flattens out right away. And that's just a minor annoyance, barely worth mentioning, since you asked about bad aspects. That's the only one I can really kind of think of.
I had a few things, partly because I had to find a few things.
Because you're
me.
Intensely picky.
I am. So one, actually, most of them are not actually problems, but the things that were items of note. So with the fences, I picked it up, and I was like, okay, and I started bending it. I took it out of the box, and some pieces came off, some of the rocks. I was like, oh no, did I ruin this? I'm like, I just got it 2 seconds ago. What did I do? And so I emailed them and I said, so what's the deal with that?
Did you read the papers that came with the fences?
No.
Okay.
And see, that's part of the problem. So that's why I mentioned it. It's important. He gives, it sounds dumb, there's instructions for terrain, right?
Yeah.
So he actually explains, and the paperwork, which is great. It's nice full color paperwork, nice quality paper. Explains how to bend it, first of all, which is very, very important. But also says that basically he puts a lot of extra stuff on it. Knowing that the first few times you're going to bend it,
yeah, it's going to come off.
The stuff's going to come off.
Oh,
and
that's smart.
It just, it's how it is, because otherwise it's gonna, you're going to get bare spots, and then people would be unhappy.
Sure.
So completes, total makes sense.
Now,
right?
And I know that this is something you probably wouldn't want to do, but I mean, to repair it is not rocket science either. I mean,
no.
You're talking about a tiny little bit of glue and a few extra rocks.
That's true. So it's easy to mend. When he sent everything and it came in the box, it was beautiful. The order that he put the flex rivers in, there's one piece that seemed odd. So it has this tree stump that kind of comes out of it. And I don't know if it's a standard thing that he does. So it's supposed to, for the scale, it's supposed to actually be a tree stump, but it's like a Woodland Scenics branch or something.
Yep.
And the way it came out, it actually didn't fit in as well. So I suggested that he turn it inward instead of going out into the boxes. It caused rips and some indentations and stuff. And I was I had no issue, but I was concerned someone else might have a problem where like it would actually detach.
Yeah.
It'd be a thing. And he thanked me for it. He said he was going to modify his way he does it so that he's going to actually pack it differently for that. Cool. So that was nice. I got to say, I like but don't love the plowed field the way that I got it. And part of it is my own fault because of my expectations. I had false expectations about stuff. But also part of it is it doesn't look like a plow field to me. It's a great piece of open terrain, dirt and stuff. And it conveys that very well. But for a plowed field, I expected some sort of plowing in it. And I know with the terrain that he's doing, you can't really necessarily do such a thing.
Yeah, it's not depth. It's dirt.
No. But like a change in color of the flocking used there, something to denote.
Like furrows.
Yeah, something. So, I mean, it's very well made. It looks great. It's going to last a long time. And I'm happy I got it. It's just part of it because of my expectation, but also just it doesn't convey that to me. The ones that actually have the crops built into it,
yeah,
they absolutely look great. And I think I should have done that. And he also does one that's kind of like a prairie kind of look, where it's, you know, like actual grass and weeds and stuff in it.
Yeah.
That looks wonderful too. Oh, and it very clearly conveys what it is. This, again, part of my expectation, but also I think there should be some way to convey the furrows. And I know it's not like a 3D, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then with it, I went the modular route that can get better use out of it. So it got the flex grass.
I think those are cool in concept. I don't know that that's for me, though. I think that that's not something that
I'll tell you why it's a good idea. It's because you put the movable pieces of crop or whatever in your plowed field, and then as you move your troops through the field, you don't have to set them on top of the crops and crush them.
Sure.
And that's why I liked it. But the thing is, this really is wild grass, right? And I thought maybe it does. Now that I'm looking at it, it gives me a different kind of opinion on it than I've had for a while. But looking at it, I thought it would kind of give me the opinion of, like, wheat growing or, like, the general feel of it. But, like, I don't know wheat that grows green. So, like, you get green grass in here, which is fine because it's grass. It literally marked as grass, right? But it's in the section where the intention is for you to use it on your fields.
Yeah.
For this.
Sure.
And you get the golden tones that I think are more wheat-like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how people would take it.
Wouldn't have to be wheat. Maybe it's a hay field.
It could be. It absolutely could be. So, like, you get that. And then it's just my one particular piece with the clump grass. I think these look really good. I like them. Except for the one I got, and I don't think it's going to be an issue with everyone. I don't think it is adhered well to the base as it would be for most people. So I think with these, and even with the grass, you're picking it up. You're going to pick it up by the grass, right? So the grass, you pick it up. I can pick it up a million times and pop it. And I don't have an issue with these. The clump's going to come off. And again, you can repair easily, but if I wanted stuff that I can repair and stuff, I could make my own.
Let me see the crumbs. I bet you I can sit here and shake that until the show is over and it won't come off.
The challenge is on.
But you drop it, you pick it up, you drop it or whatever.
The mic is picking up all that.
I think eventually it could be an issue. And again, I think it's only with the one I got. I don't think it's necessarily with all of them.
Yeah. That's kind of an issue with clump foliage, though? Because I've made my own trees that way and everything.
And yeah, so, and
they shed. Off. They shed.
It does.
Yeah. Everything sheds in wargaming.
It is clearly marked as clump grass and field grass.
Yeah.
They're not marked as crops. So obviously they're in that section. I think the intention is people are going to use them as such.
Right.
And he actually has actual. I think he's using the clump foliage stuff. But the where it's integrated, you can clearly tell it's some sort of crop. Maybe it's a lettuce or whatever. And I would love maybe an expansion for him to do something more so that these modular pieces actually look more like crops that people are going to use on.
Yeah. See, and that's kind of where I'm stuck on the modular stuff. And I get it. I mean, they're cool. But I can't think of a way to really, the way that I'd want to use that, especially with the clump grass, because it's basically just a rectangle strip.
Yeah.
Of how does that occur in nature, in for me, and that's kind of where I would get hung up on that.
Well, but like that stuff there, it wouldn't occur in nature, but it certainly would occur in your plowed field and rows of crops.
Right, and well, that, yeah. Right, and sure.
I think could also, as a suggestion, instead of having it be all the way across, you might have some spaces in between to denote.
Uh-huh.
One thing I should say, if you really do want crops, he has corn that you can get. So it's a row of corn.
I've seen those.
It looks gorgeous. It's just I didn't happen to get that. It's in a different section because it's not the flex terrain.
Right.
So all the flex terrain he hand makes and everything else he sells, but like a friend of his, I guess, is the one who makes it. So it's all locally sourced again. Everything's locally sourced. Yep. And done. So you
organic?
Can, I don't know. Eat it. Tell me how you feel. Here you go. Have the clump grass.
Yep.
You've been saying you're hungry. The two of you. You want some? Should you just gnaw away?
I will. The
the glue might be toxic.
I have to say that it tastes great.
Nom, 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 nom. but yeah, the cornfields, they look really good. It looks like corn, just goes. It's a different aesthetic because it's not the flex terrain. So you're not going to get that actual flex on the base, I think. I haven't seen them in person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't try, but I think you're
probably
right.
See, but again, this is, so for me, with the module, and basically what I'm going to, I'll tip my hand on my summary on this. I like the roads. I like the rivers. The modular, I'm just not too keen on. They're flexible, but you're really not getting much out of a small.
The little pieces like that.
Yeah, the little two-inch piece being flexible.
No, but what I think you do get is with the elevation.
Yeah,
hold
sure,
it,
right.
Generally, not as good as the fences, but they hold it. So you get yourself a cigar box battle mat, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get some polystyrene and you make some sort of hill forms. You put it under the cigar box battle mat. You buy yourself some of this kind of stuff and you put it on so you get the contour and the elevation change on your table and you get this on top. And if you get something that's not flexible, it hangs off the edge. And then
right.
You get the thing where Northern like the Titanic sticking out
of
the water.
And I think that that's fine too. I mean, I get it.
But you could do it.
It's good. In my way of spending my dollar, it would be more for the bigger pieces. I would go for the bigger bang.
And I think those are really his showcase pieces.
Absolutely.
Like, they look great, and I need to get myself a set of roads from him.
Mm-hmm. I think I want to get the rivers.
The deluxe rivers?
I don't know. We'll see.
I think you should do deluxe, and then you need to tell him that I sent you. Because that, you know, that's one of the
things. You get a free river piece for every referral.
So this is what it is. So one of the things, this is a thing that I think people may not always understand, but whether, I don't care what it is, whether you listen to your radio, there's anyone who's recommending something, when they're recommending it or they're reviewing it, the thing they're reviewing and the reviewee, they have this relationship. And I think, at least here for Wargaming Recon, I think for anything in general, really, but especially here, I like to make sure that it's not a fair exchange and that I want to get less than they get. So if they're offering discounts or review copies or whatever, that's great. I want to do a fair and balanced job of assessing it. But I also want to make sure that they're getting more bang for their buck than whatever. Not just because they'll be like, oh, we're happy we did that and maybe we'll do it again. But also because then they feel good about it. And I think it helps to enrich the hobby as a whole. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of growing things that are really good. So if someone like you, Alex, is like, I want to go get the rivers. But standard deluxe doesn't matter. And you're going to get them from Wargaming's Terrain. I think it's really handy for Joe at Wargaming's Terrain to know, oh, Alex ordered these and liked them because of this, and so that's why the hobby's growing, and so then you can kind of work together so you have this whole sense of community.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It pays back, I think, on one another. And, I mean, I've fallen into the trap of here's something, and I'm like, I'm going to go get that, and I get it, and I never say why or whatever, and you know, I don't know how often that makes a difference, but I think it does make a difference for things. And so it's just nice of them to know, like, it was worth them.
And it's all a close community, too.
It is.
I mean, especially when you come, again, we're filming, but recording.
We're filming. we're filming our voices.
Yeah. Filming our voices at a convention.
Yeah.
And it's just, you see how tight everybody is, and everybody knows everybody. And so, again, it's cool. It's good to know that, hey, I ordered this because I heard, or because I talked to somebody, or I just saw it, and I thought it was really...
Yeah, like, we're here at Havoc because one of the organizers who kind of helps out with all this stuff, Greg Belovic, is a guy I've been able to know and meet through TotalCon, and he's a friend of Mike Payne, and it all comes together. And then there are vendors here who are then going to be at Huzzah, and they're going to go to OGC and Carnage, and like all these other things. They'll go to HistoriCon, and so it kind of grows, and it's a very small village in many ways. Mm-hmm. But you're right, it makes a difference. It really does. So as I say, they're not problems with any of the stuff. I don't think the cons, per se, for the pieces, I think it's just areas for improvement. And I think the things are good. I do, and I get they're not for everyone, Alex.
Yeah, no, I mean, my complaint is not
I don't think
on
it's
the
a complaint.
Piece itself. Yeah, it's not on the piece itself. It's more in my ability to find a way to use it.
Yeah. But
My money would just go elsewhere.
There's a lot of
from his products.
Well, there's a variety. Yeah. And so you can get something you like, and he has a lot of options, too, right? I mean, I can't even... You can get swamps. You can get the pond like you have. He does what fences. He does trees, magnetic trees, actually, which I'm curious about.
Yeah.
And just you could outfit your whole table with all the stuff, and there's still more things he could do, I know.
Magnetic trees are a really good idea.
I like it, and I'm curious how they would do under the cigar box mat to go through. I think they'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just how they would look and everything. That's something on my list of, I want all of his stuff, which is just really a ringing endorsement.
As someone who knocks over trees a lot, I would be very in for magnetic trees.
Yeah, I mean, it's handy. And I think, for me anyway, bottom line, my conclusion for Wargamer's Terrain is that it's worth the money. It's worth more than what he's charging. And I think it's worth people taking a chance on it if you've never thought of it. If you need something, try him.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I'll be buying more of his stuff for sure.
Yeah, you're a repeat customer. You're going to become one. So
Roads and Rivers for sure. And I think the set pieces, and what I mean by set pieces, like sort of the bigger pieces, are definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
Really nice.
I really like his water pieces because he does a really good job with it.
Yes.
And, I mean, we actually have access to some rivers because a buddy of ours, Court, has made really nice rivers. And so we've used them. We used them at TotalCon, didn't we, Adrian?
Yeah, Silver Cloud.
For Black Powder. They look good. These are different, and it's nice to have this too. But rivers, I think people don't pay enough attention to water pieces in the terrain because you're always like, I need the fence, I need the wall, the road, the buildings, or hills, and that kind of stuff. And you don't think about the other stuff, but you always need everything else. Yeah, please. We got Court right here in the audience.
From batch to batch, one of the problems that I always had, the color.
Consistency?
Yeah.
So everything is, as far as I understand it, Court, everything is one
you
of a kind. No, but I believe if I were to buy another set of the Flex Rivers Deluxe set, it would look cohesive.
Ah, good.
So I'm not saying it's going to be identical, but it's going to look like it belongs.
Yeah.
Unless I was like, if I said, I think I got blue green right now, but let's say I get blue green, and if I said, I want brown, it might not look so great.
Sure, right.
But other, if I was like, I want blue green, they're going to look like they belong together.
Yeah.
You see the ones I made. One's green, one's kind of green, blue, green.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get that. I'm going to presume that generally he has written down somewhere his formulas. Like, I do 6 drops of green and 4 of blue and 2 of this or whatever to get this. This is what it looks like generally. And he might alter it just slightly. I don't know, but that's just what I'm presuming.
Yeah. No. See, that's some things to do.
It is, and he does a really good job with it. I got to say, I've seen, because he has photos on his website that customers have taken. Adrian, you took photos that made it onto the website, but he has photos of stuff that people submitted, so it's not like he's taken them. And you can see that, you can tell everything's his, and that things look like they belong together.
Yeah.
So even from one photo, from one person to another, they can have taken years apart, different locations and environments, and they look like they belong together.
Yeah.
And you could just meet up somewhere and put all your stuff together, be like, okay, here you go. So they look good.
And I think we covered this, but I'm going to ask it again because I'm not remembering. How much table would a river cover lengthwise, let's just say?
If you went completely
if you just
one end to another?
Yep.
Well, it's more than my 6x4 can take.
So there you go. I mean, really when it comes down to it is you're getting a lot of...
Each segment, I think, is a foot.
Right, yeah. So you're getting a lot to begin with.
And that's for the roads, too.
If you need to buy a piece more later on...
And you can buy if you're running one section at a time, too.
18-foot table, maybe you're running into a problem there.
Well, let's say you have the 18-foot table. That set that you get, that's supposed to be... I don't remember how many pieces it is. It's the same for the roads. How many pieces did you get in your roads, Adrian?
I honestly don't know.
I'm going to say it's 8 feet worth of stuff. I might be wrong, but I'm just going to guesstimate that. So let's say you get 8 feet worth, and you need that 18 and stuff. You may not need to buy a whole other set. You just buy a couple other pieces, and it ends up being more expensive per piece to do that.
Sure.
But not it's only like 50 cents or a dollar more per piece.
Yeah, something like that. You'd probably be better off buying a whole other set.
You would.
Let me put it this way. The roads I have when we did the scenario at TotalCon.
Bolt action, yeah.
I had enough road to...
Santa's not coming, but Hitler is.
Yes. I had enough road to go from one end of the 6 foot table to the other.
Bastogne, 19.
One end of the 6 foot table to the other end of the 6 foot table, and then...
We had overlap.
There was overlap there, and then I had a side road coming off that was probably 3 feet long. So there's plenty of road in that box.
And I think maybe we may have not used all your pieces.
We didn't. There was plenty.
One or two at least left.
Yeah.
So you can really do whatever.
Plenty is the answer.
Plenty is...
If you're playing on a standard 6x4 table.
You might actually need more curves.
Maybe, depending on what you want to do, yeah.
Like, let's say you wanted to kind of go around part of the outside of the table and you come back in a little.
Edge out the whole
to try to use as much as possible. Yeah, you might need to pick up just, like, an S-curve or a C-curve or something like that. I don't know.
What about, the banks? On the banks of the river?
Yeah.
And then even, I don't know what they're called on a road, but I call, road banks.
Yeah.
How does it bleed off into the table?
So we actually have a piece handy... And it doesn't get a whole lot of build up in it, but we can actually...
Is it in this one?
Yeah, we can take a moment and we can take a peek. Originally, just have it muted for the moment. It should be one of them. There should be a bunch of them.
Now we're just going to have a lot of tissue paper crinkling.
There you go.
Okay.
Right, okay.
So we have a piece handy here, and you can tell that... It doesn't change elevation, but it clearly is delineated from what the bank is and what the river itself is.
Right.
And I think that's generally true, too, for the roads.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And can you specify your bank? Suppose you want it,
we'll customize as you need.
Like a little tributary in sort of a, swampier area.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never asked for anything odd, but...
Maybe you don't want a green woodland. Maybe you want sort of a brown woodland.
Well, see, and that's one of the things that I like, because he's a gamer and he knows about the gaming, and you can have that conversation with him. You can say, okay, you're doing Battlefield Vietnam game, and so you really want rivers, but you want stuff for the Mekong Delta to have that kind of aesthetic and the feel. He's going to change up your banking.
That's what I mean.
So you have that. Let's say you're going to do, you want the standard rivers, but you want one section to be particularly deep.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. So he's going to make it deeper, so maybe you don't have the driftwood or whatever poking out or that kind of stuff. So he'll modify it as such for that. And all it takes is an email. He actually recommends for the deluxe rivers that you email him before you order. If you don't, you'll get the default, or he might contact you anyway. But
that's cool. I mean, you have a level of customization with this, and it sounds like he'll work with you.
Absolutely.
So if you're running some sort of a Fallout type of game and you want dirty water in sort of a, Vegas, deserty area, you can do that too.
Sounds like it.
It's easy, and I think a lot of the Wargaming Terrain kind of stuff, whether it's Wargaming Terrain or anyone else's, it's a lot of boutique kind of industry sort of stuff, so you can get that sort of cottage industry feel to it, which with the pros and cons of it. But one of the great pros is you get that customization. It's handy.
Yeah.
What else do you guys think about the terrain?
I think we've covered all the high points, and there really aren't any low points, so...
No, they're nice. They're nice pieces.
Well, you heard that from Alex as a non-customer, so he has no skin in the game. And I want to say that we will have a link to the unboxing video in the show notes, so you can get access to that, and it's also on YouTube and Facebook. I got to say, like I said, I think it's worth getting everything. I highly recommend all the pieces. I don't highly recommend the clump grass and the field grass. I recommend it, but it's not a highly recommend for me. I like it, but don't love them. But even then, I think it's worth the money. I think you should go and pick it out. I don't think you're going to be wrong by getting anything from them.
No, I don't think so.
Nope, I agree. And again, he can do stuff and I go back to the rivers because I think that that's one of the harder effects to pull off in wargaming. And if you're going to, I'm always thinking about it in terms of, hey, what can't I do myself?
Exactly.
And that's one of the ones that it's just tougher to do. You know, you might be able to throw together a wall or a fence yourself and be happy enough with it. The water effects are just tough.
Well, you got to get the epoxy just right. And I've heard it's hard to get it clear, that a lot of times you can get some cloudiness in it.
Yes, you do.
And so I've never seen any of his pieces that people have bought or for sale that's cloudy. If it doesn't look completely clear, it's because he's added extra paint into it to give a little depth.
Right.
Or, like, I don't know about any of you guys, but I've never seen a river that's completely barren in the middle. So he puts stuff in it. So
almost family unfriendly there.
Yep.
So there's actually, like, rocks and stones and tree pieces, and things get stuck in there. You feel like this is a real place, and obviously it's not, but it feels authentic.
Yeah,
and all of his stuff
is
kind
of everything.
It's practically wet and everything. And like he would do snow and stuff.
What it is it's flocked underneath.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
And it's so
and
it's
then
painted, right?
Painted, flocked,
and then epoxied over.
And
so,
then
I
he
mean,
does the pink.
There is depth there.
Yeah,
definitely is some, and it looks great.
And then like when you flip it over and you look at them, I don't know what this material it is, but whatever it is, it's great, and I like that it's branded. So let's say you got this a million years ago, right? And you have it at home. You didn't get a box. You don't have the box. You're like, I want to buy some more of it. Or you buy it secondhand from someone. You know how convention they usually have like that
swap meet or whatever.
Yeah. And you're like, I want to get more. And the person doesn't remember. Or you didn't ask or whatever. You flip it over. It has a name. It has a website. So you can figure out a way to get in touch. So you can get more if you wanted it. And I think it's smart to do it. So you have it. But it's not obnoxious either.
No,
I hate it when the branding's right in your face, and you're just like, oh, really? I don't need to know.
Thin. It's really
thin. So it's very easy. You can bend. It's gorgeous. Why don't we move on to mailbag? It's one of my favorite parts of the show, because I love getting listener feedback from people, good, bad, or the other, as I like to call it, because I don't like to refer to feedback as ugly. I mean, some of it is, but we don't really get ugly feedback.
Ugly feedback.
Not since I've been
feedback.
On the show, anyway.
No, I think it's because you guys are here, and people are afraid to give that sort of feedback. It's just what it is. They think Alex is a nice guy, and Adrian, he's invisible, man, so we'll just...
Yeah, who?
We don't have to worry about that. So we got a piece of feedback here from listener Kyle about episode 179, Five Convention Pet Peeves. And he says here, and I'm going to try to condense because he had a lot of feedback here. He says, quote, for me, it boils down to this. If I'm going to spend lots of time and money to attend a convention, I want to make sure that I know exactly what I'm registered for and that I don't have to worry about any hiccups. I know that these people are volunteers, so I'm willing to cut them some slack. Having said that, I wasn't pleased that a local convention opened up registration earlier than expected. It cost him some games, unquote. So, Kyle, I feel your pain. Been in that boat, and I think we all have, right?
Yeah, just recently, in fact.
That a thing opens up, and it's not when you think it is. Maybe you're out of the country, you're on vacation, you don't have access to a computer. And some of these cons, right, even the small local ones, games fill up fast, right?
Yeah, it's not even a matter of not being aware. I mean, when you know the convention is 3-4 months down the road, they open up sign-up. It's too early. I just think they should open up a lot closer to the actual convention.
Yeah, it's hard to know your schedule and everything. And
I mean, maybe I'm unique in that way.
Whenever you do it, broadcast it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the one I'm thinking of, I don't want to mention anybody by name for inch, but they do broadcast it pretty well.
They do, but still, it's early. And I found with historical gaming conventions, one of the things tends to be that people pre-register heavily for games, and that's how they go. Like, you go to some non-historical gaming conventions, and you just kind of walk in, and it's okay.
Yeah, I tell you the way it is.
You've been to some of the HMGS stuff. Like,
I have, and it's like the historical game. Everybody talks, everybody knows everybody. Everybody a year before the convention happens knows that Joe Smith is running whatever particular game, and they're just waiting for registration to open up so that they can register for the game. And it's like the Big Bang episode when they're trying to get tickets for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
The instant registration is open. All these guys are on the computer clicking, and the game fills up.
That's like PAX.
Well, I was going to say,
exactly like PAX.
Yeah, those Saturday tickets for PAX, they sell out within minutes of the first day.
In minutes.
It's ridiculous.
So I don't know what the solution is to that. You don't want to restrict the registration. You don't want it to open up like 2 weeks before the con or whatever, because that's impossible for planning. But two or three months early, it's too much time.
It's kind of what's your aim? If you are you opening it to people that don't normally get to play games to come and try out games? If you're going to do that, then you have to target, sign up a certain way. If it's going to be an old boys club where the people who would game together anyway are just getting together and kind of having a game, that's a different thing. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's kind of what are you looking to do as a convention?
And I think, Kyle, you have a really good point here. You say that if you're going to spend lots of time and money to attend a con, you want to know what you're registered for, and you don't want to have to worry about hiccups. For a lot of people, these things are destinations, right? It might be the only, I'm going to use the word vacation, it might be the only vacation that they get all year. And in my case, that's really what it is. Like, when I go up to Huzzah, I go with my wife and the little one, and that is our vacation a year. And nowadays, not everyone can afford to go away, but even if you can't, like, that might be your thing. So you're blending it. So if you're going on vacation, you're going on this destination and thing, you want it to go well, because you're supposed to be relaxed. You're not supposed to be worried about all the others. Because if you were, you'd stay home worrying about, you got to do the dishes, you got to mow lawn, you got to do all this kind of stuff, you got to go to work or whatever. So you don't want to have to worry about that. So it should be seamless.
Yeah.
It's just
right.
What it should be.
And again, like you said, if you're paying, everyone's equal if you're paying.
Absolutely. And, like, I get it. I mean, a lot of times it's volunteers doing it, so I'm willing to cut slack.
I'll cut a little slack,
to a point.
To a point, yeah. I don't buy the whole...
And he says that.
Yeah, absolutely he does.
Yeah, I don't buy the whole, you know, they're volunteer kind of thing argument, because maybe so, but they're the ones that put the convention together, and they're the ones charging me money for it, so...
Yeah. And some of these cons, they're not cheap. It depends on what they are. And that's relative, too, I know.
It's totally relative.
But, like, still, like, $50 is $50, or $100 is $100, or whatever it is for whatever the con is. And I know the larger ones, they have to charge more. But still, it's money out of your pocket that you're not spending on medication or food or gas or to actually buy stuff to play the games that we like to play.
Yeah.
You know?
So I definitely agree with Kyle. Unfortunately, I don't have any good ideas of how to fix it or make it better.
Well, that'll be your homework, Adrian. For next time.
Okay. Everybody will be looking forward to that. What was that guy nobody can remember was supposed to come up with?
Someone was going to do something, but we don't know who they were. Maybe we heard them. I don't know. Kyle, thank you very much for writing in. I appreciate the feedback, and I agree with you. I really do. And this was in response to the pet peeve episode, and that's when so much feedback came in, right? Like tons.
Yeah.
All over Facebook, because we share the episodes in different Facebook groups and social media that we have access to and we're allowed to.
Yeah.
And people were very responsive to this. So I really want to take that and do like an episode just on that. But I thought this was, I felt Kyle did a great job of kind of unintentionally being an ambassador for this and respectfully presenting it, the cares and concerns people have, but also understanding that there might be some mitigating factors. I think also Kyle's experience with this is pretty, like, he's an everyman in that kind of aspect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty uniform for, I think, what people could experience.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have that as well. And I want to let people know that we are inching closer and closer to reaching our next Patreon goal. It's very exciting.
Yay.
We are halfway there. Actually, just under halfway.
Is this the goal that when you meet it, you're going to start paying your co-hosts?
So we can make that a goal and add that on the queue for things. But this is a goal. We are $55 away. Where if we meet this goal, we can have the show professionally edited by Joshua Shoebridge. He can be paid a fair wage. I tell you, audio editing is a pain in the butt. And it is a thankless job.
No, this one's going to be tough.
It is absolutely going to be tough. And I don't envy Josh at all. Right now, I'm giving him a little something out of my own, and that's not able to continue. So we're hoping to make this a viable option so that we meet the goal and he can be paid and he can continue. And if not, he's not going to be able to edit the show anymore. So that'll go away and the show won't sound as good, which means you might not enjoy hearing us talk as much anymore, which would be a shame because it's supposed to be part of your entertainment value here and informative. We try to educate and entertain, and there's a word for that. I don't know what it is, but there's a word.
Entertainment.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
He's got one. You got it.
You guys are on a roll for making up words.
I don't think that's a made up word. I've heard that somewhere.
No, I think it's a
real one. I guess it doesn't make it real just because I've heard it somewhere. But.
No, but I think it might be real. So we're getting closer to that. And I want to thank our Patreon backers, Patrick, Chris Parker from DayOfBattleGames.com, and Kyle from Vermont. You too can be a backer for the show for as little as $1 per month. That's less than a cup of coffee, people. And that'll get you episodes before non-backers. You also get behind-the-scenes content. A lot of interesting and unusual things happen, whether it might be outtakes.
Mostly unusual.
We'll go with that. Or discussion before or after episodes. It might be insight into things that don't make it into the episode that we then get to share afterwards. And that goes straight to backers. So if you're not a Patreon backer, you're missing out. We have other levels, too. So you can get things like T-shirts. You can get special Wargaming Recon wooden dice, which are really cool. You can... I'm missing things. Postcards, bumper stickers. What else do we have? We have all sorts of stuff.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that part of the show. That's your gig.
But but it, if none of those levels appeal to you, we can make a custom level. So just reach out to me, Jonathan@WargamingRecon.com. We'll come up with a custom level for you. So I've done that for someone, and we have a custom level. It's a really neat setup for that. So we'll see what we can do and create something just special for you and make that happen. So... You can back us by going to WargamingRecon.com/Patreon. And don't forget the episode guide for the show, WargamingRecon.com/episode guide. Oddly enough, huh? And that'll tell you about upcoming show topics, guests, who the co-hosts will be, reviews, and all that kind of stuff, and have links to them. The next episode, episode 182, comes out May 1st, 2017. Be here before we know it, so you'll be able to tune into that and hear what we will be discussing. And don't ask me what it is because I don't know yet, but I'm sure it'll be good.
It'll be awesome.
I'm sure it'll be awesome.
It's already great.
It is fantastic. And we talked about a lot of things here, right? So show notes, WargamingRecon.com/WR181. That's the one thing you really need to remember, WargamingRecon.com/WR181. And that'll get you to the show notes. So I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode today, and I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll listen to another in the future. I want to thank my co-host, Alex. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Love being here.
I thought so. I could tell the glow from you were just emanating everywhere, and that's the only reason I could see Invisible Man. Adrian Benson. Adrian, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me again, John. I, too, very much enjoyed being here.
Thank God for Alex's glow. Otherwise, I could not see the joy on your face.
With my very loud laughter. Oh, boy.
I'm just proud of the fun that we have here at Wargaming Recon. It's so special.
Before we go, the suggestion was that the Patreon level should be that at some point, you have to paint a figure.
Do you know what? If people are interested in that, we'll come up with an appropriate reward price
for
that.
I want to know what that is. I might chip in on that.
Hey, we can discuss that and see what comes up, and we will tack that
into... I think there should be a level where you send them the painted figure.
I would, and we'll create the reward level, and then...
It's going to be a Picasso, I'm sure.
I would paint such a thing. Hey, be careful what you ask for, people. I've talked at length on the show about my paintings. People should know. Be prepared and forewarned and accept my apologies in advance. It's not a bad idea, though.
I'm going to have a side-by-side with what you do and what your daughter does.
Oh, yeah. I know which one would be better. Not mine. So thank you, everyone, once again. You don't know, no matter how busy you are, no matter how much fantastic new terrain you're going to buy and play with and flex and bend and contort into your wargaming dreams, you gotta, you need to, you have to keep on gaming.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit WargamingRecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other great shows on the network.
This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial ShareAlike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew, who helped give the show its name. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.